Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? It's the return of Patriot Nation Radio Show. We got a great show on tap, so kick back and get ready. It's going to be a good one. We're going to have a good time tonight. Hello. There we go. This is the Patriot Nation Radio Show live. It's the return. We have a great show on tap for you tonight, so kick back. We're going to remember Lavoie Finnegan tonight.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio live, 347-637-3942.
Thank
you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Yes, indeed, folks. Dave Bray is out on the road once again doing great things. We love Dave Bray, and this is the Patriot Nation Radio Show. All right, folks. 7 years ago on this very day, because, you know, every 7 years it's the same actual same day of the occurrence, freedom-loving patriot, God-fearing husband, father, rancher, and hero to many people for making a valid stand, putting his life, liberty, and fortune on the line for the greatness of our country to remain free and great. And the FBI murdered him in a snowbank on a blind man's roadblock in Oregon. His name is Robert Lavoie Finnegan, and we want to remember him. And we'll do a moment of silence here for a second. Come back maybe with a word of prayer. So, folks, join me in a short moment of silence in memory of Mr. Lavoie Finnegan. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. All honor and glory to you in these times that we are living. It is especially important to remember you, to keep you in all we do and say. We know the world is full of sin and darkness. Thankfully, we have a God who loves us enough to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to purge our sins, and give us eternal life with him in heaven. How glorious, how marvelous. But God did not come to help us one time only. He hears us when we cry out to him. He longs to deliver us and save us from our sins and iniquities. Let us strive to live a life worthy of his sacrifice and forgiveness. Dear God, help me. Hear my cries and hear our pleas. We need your salvation and your forgiveness for our sin. We know we are sinners, but we know you are our Savior. Your name has power, O Lord. Lead us away from wickedness and into your glory. Take our brokenness and use it to bring you glory. Thank you for loving us enough to send your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our salvation. Help us to live a life that honors your name. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. This is Finnegan. Hello, Jeanette. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on. And what a beautiful prayer. Thank you for the prayer.
That was very beautiful.
You're welcome. I think we are kindred spirits when it comes to our you know, Lord and Savior. So I know your husband was very, very religious man and prayed, and so I definitely seen it fitting to open the show with prayer, which lately that's what I do now. I never used to open with prayer. I'd open up with, like, a, you know, a Star-Spangled Banner or a song, but now we open with prayer.
That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. We need it. The country needs it.
Yep. You know, he says, you know, if we humble ourselves and pray. So we ought to humble ourselves and pray as much as we can. You know, it's very important. Prayer and God and our country and families. That's what it's all about. And your husband
absolutely
understood that, I believe, 100%.
Yes, he did. And he had, that was the order in which he put it, of importance, God, family, and country.
Man.
God always came first, his family, and then country. So that is exactly how he felt.
And without those three things, we have nothing. So,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's very important. And I learned a lot of things from your husband, watching him on you know, videos and stuff like that. And he definitely was one of the inspirations for me to make sure I have constitutions everywhere. Wherever I look, I can find the constitution pretty fast in our house.
That's great. That's great. We might want to send one to one of those nominees that today, when she was being questioned about the second and fifth articles, she had no idea, you know, and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, she's wanting to be a judge.
You know,
if she doesn't understand the Constitution, we're in trouble.
You want to hear a story? I'll tell you. A couple of years ago on 4th of July, I decided, we were at a big festival here in Florida, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to go live on a Facebook live feed, and I'm going to ask people why we celebrate the 4th of July. And I was shocked. People really, a lot of people had no idea. And so I started asking them things like, well, do you know anything about the Constitution? And, you know, can you name me one amendment, you know, one thing in the Bill of Rights, anything? And most people were like, oh, freedom of speech. You know, everybody went to freedom of speech, almost everybody.
Yeah.
So I went up to a couple of sheriff's deputies. I said, I thanked them for their service, and I told them, you know, we support the police, and we love you guys. Thanks for being here, keeping us safe. And I'm doing a live broadcast. I was wondering if you would answer a couple of questions. I said, sure, no problem. You know, of course, I said happy 4th of July. And I said, well, you know why we celebrate 4th of July? And they said, yeah, you know, we're celebrating our independence. And you swore an oath to serve and protect the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, right? Yes. Can you name three protected rights in the Bill of Rights? I'm like, what? Three sheriff's deputies that swore an oath to protect the Constitution, and they couldn't even name three protected rights in the Bill of Rights. I was shocked.
Yeah, I'm afraid that that's pretty much the case everywhere.
And how can you refrain from violating people's civil rights if you don't know what rights they actually have?
Exactly, exactly. And how do we exercise those rights? You know, what does that look like? What are we afforded under the Constitution in exercising our opinions and standing up for those rights? What parameters do we have there? And, you know, we have this controversy in America, and it's still going today. My husband stood for property rights. He was exercising his First and Second Amendment to talk about it. And
yep.
His Second Amendment, you know, you have the right to have an arm, be armed while exercising your First Amendment right, as long as you do it responsibly and peacefully, right? There's no law against that. And he was doing that very thing, yet they were demonized when they were peacefully, responsibly standing up there up at Malheur, standing for
yep.
the Hammonds' right to have and operate their personal property.
Yep.
They were demonized by the media and then labeled. And the fear-mongering that went on. And then today, 7 years later, and we've watched throughout the 7 years, you know, Antifa, BLM, all the different types of protests across the country, but it's still happening in Georgia, where they are trying to redefine what a peaceful protest means.
Right.
And they're trying to say that it's within their constitutional right to burn and loot and destroy personal property because they're exercising their First Amendment right. And no, nowhere in the First Amendment does it say that we as citizens have the right to destroy someone else's property. There's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And within the pursuit of happiness, we have the right to protection and safety. And that's where the police come in, right? They have every right to protect that personal property from those violent demonstrators. And they're trying to say they're not violent, that they're just peacefully protesting and exercising their First Amendment rights. And so I feel like it's just repeating itself. And I know that more and more people are becoming aware and are awakened in different ways because it's become personal for them, you know, the teachers and the parents at the school board. And so it's very personal across the country because people are learning what kind of government we're really living under. It's not a free society. And if you think outside the box or you think differently and more conservative, then you can be held to a different standard than the liberal media or the liberal elite.
I've always said that we live in an illusion of freedom. People think they're free because it's Sunday. I could go down to the store and get 24 beers, a sandwich, some wings, some chips, bring all my friends to my house, watch the game, and be stupid.
Yeah.
They think that makes them free because they can do that stuff. Or they think they're free because they can jump in the car and drive from Florida to Montana and buy a house and live in the mountains. Ooh, I'm free. But they don't know the whole of it. They are not
free. We're not free. We're so in bondage in so many different ways through regulation and from the counties, from the cities, from the states, taxes. Just all the rules that you have to live under in every area of government, like the school board. I mean, that's a basic local thing. And look at how much power the school board has
over
what
parents.
Our children are. Yeah, the parents have no recourse. We have to get involved, right? We have to get involved on the local level.
Came to our school board meeting with that mindset. I know personally some people who would be charged as terrorists because they speak out almost every meeting for the children.
Yes.
And, you know, it's, if that makes you a terrorist, well, God bless them. I support terrorists like that. And, you know, I hate to say it.
We have to get involved and get to our legislators and develop those relationships with the people that we've voted into office so that they can change the law. So that the school board doesn't have that kind of power over its citizenry and what our children are or not allowed to learn.
Right.
And, you know, that's just one area. That's just one thing. But just in our circumstance with Lavoie and his murder, we haven't seen justice. We haven't had our day in court. They've done everything within the judicial system to delay, to tax us heavy with the delay and having to continue to find money to pay for the representation that we needed to keep fighting this battle as we go from 1 year to the next. And we are going to appeal in front of the Supreme Court, and the filing is being prepared now. But, you know, it shouldn't be that difficult for someone to have their due process and the remedy to that, right? It shouldn't take that long. And we're not all George Floyds, right? Within six months, their family had remedy. But in the case of Lavoie Finicum, because he's not politically correct, they drug it out and continue to drag it out, and it is now 7 years and counting.
You know, supposedly we have a right to a speedy trial. And whatever happened to that?
Right. If you have the money or the right connections, or you're politically correct. If you are a poster child for a cause and that makes it politically correct, then you will get speedy remedy and you will have justice.
Right.
Or
if you're
the Pelosi,
an actual person.
Right? If,
yeah. Yeah. Can you believe this guy got off? Like, imagine if that DUI was me.
Right.
I wouldn't even have had a court date yet.
Right. And you would have fines and possible imprisonment. And, you would
vehicle.
Have to pay for lawyers. Yeah. You would have a ding on your record, and it could affect your job. And
yeah.
But Pelosi, he's rich, wealthy, elite. He's on the politically correct side of things in San Francisco. So therefore, he's going to get a pass on every level, you know, and he will be protected. And we can't allow that to be that way here in America. That's not the way it's supposed to be. There aren't two tiers of justice. In a justice system in the country. There's one system.
Equal justice
system.
For all. That's why the statue of justice has the scale of justice
yeah,
in her hand.
Yeah, and that she's blindfolded. Yeah.
Yes.
And blindfolded and so that she doesn't, so she's not influenced in one way or another.
Right, swayed one way or the other. And, you know, it's really, and I guess if you just conform, you won't be cast out, you know, just get in line and put on your blinders, go to work, pay your taxes, go home.
Yeah, don't rock the boat.
Watch the programming. They call them programs for a reason. we're watching television programs, you know, on this little box that they're watching us through now. They got little cameras and microphones. They're listening and watching us through the TV. It's crazy. Nuts. Freedom. That guy, he wrote that book, 1984, Orwell. If he was alive today, he'd be in shock. He wouldn't believe. He probably turns over in his grave. I told you, it's worse than I could ever have imagined.
Yep.
Unbelievable. So it's been 7 years. Uh-oh. What did I do? I just hit something. Am I still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Oh, there we go. I hit the noise-canceling button. It wasn't canceling the background noise. I'm back. So it's been 7 years since the horrible tragedy. What have you guys been doing to just get through the horror of the whole situation on your personal level?
Well, personally, I stayed so busy and traveled so much the first 4.5 years that I didn't have time to think about my personal feelings or allow myself that emotional rawness. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yes, I spoke around the country, and yes, it made me cry to talk about him, but on a deeper level where you grieve and you go through that
right.
process, it can get raw. And
yes.
when COVID happened and it forced us all to stay home, I can remember I was in California in the San Francisco area, and Mark and I were traveling with the documentary series LaVoie Dead Man Talking and presenting
yep.
it all around. And I remember after coming home from that when it was canceled, the being home and not running and rushing and slowing down to that pace of, you know, and then isolation, right, because we were all locked in, and I had to deal with my feelings. I had to deal with the grief. I had to deal with the loss. And, you know, I had just lost my father the year before COVID, and then I lost my mother the year after COVID. I had her here at home. And so something triggered inside of me, and I actually started to process my own grief
right.
for LaVoie. And it was, you know, everybody has their own timetable, and everybody has their own way of getting through the loss of a loved one. And
right.
mine was to go full speed ahead in the demand justice. That's how I dealt with it in the beginning, was to not deal with it and to pursue justice. And kept myself so busy I couldn't think about it. So I would put it in a box whenever it got to be too much, and I'd put the lid on it in my mind and not think about it. And COVID
right.
forced me to open my box and to deal with loss. And I'm still actually dealing with it. I am remarried, and I do have a lovely husband.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Stephen is an amazing man. He too lost his wife of 40 years. And so he understands me. He understands the loss of a spouse and how huge that is in your life. And so I'm grateful for his understanding and his patience with me going through it. And we can go through it together, right? We both understand what it means. And so I'm grateful to have that partnership with him. And he's someone that I'm able to, spend my time with and my life with. And so I'm grateful for that. And I truly believe that his wife and my husband had a hand in somehow putting us together. And because we're just what we need for each other, you know. I believe in angels, and I do believe in their influence in our lives, and I do believe that our loved ones are around us, helping us.
I believe
us
in
through.
Angels.
Yeah, and I do believe
it's
that
all
LaVoy
in the good book.
Helped. Yep.
Amen.
I do believe it's LaVoy is there watching and trying to be there for his kids and me, and I know that, again, someday we will be together as a family, and so I do have that belief system as well. But that's kind of what I've been doing with my life. We've fought the fight and continue to fight the fight. I've been around with the documentary, selling his book, my daughter's book, Liberty Rising, and only by Blood and Suffering, and then we also have a ranch.
Right.
And I've had to learn how to put that together. Me and my youngest daughter run the ranch, and we've been very busy with that. And here at home, I am working again. I do therapeutic foster care for boys, and I am doing that again. So very busy, very busy life. Grandma, we are now grandparents of 40 children. Can you believe that?
Holy.
Voice posterity has... His posterity has doubled since he passed. When he died, we had 19 grandchildren, and now we have 40. Isn't that amazing?
That's unbelievable. I'm hoping I get one. I got a small family.
You will.
We got lucky to even have a son, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. He's going to be 12 in March. He's amazing. He's in a gifted program in school. And, you know, I was listening during COVID. They were having a lesson on the Constitution, believe it or not. When I am in Florida, and it's a little different here in Florida than most places, you know. We have a rock star governor who loves the Constitution, so we're lucky. But the teacher says, okay, kids, today we're going to learn about the Constitution. And the Constitution protects your rights, some of which include the right to free speech and the right to bear arms. I said, what? When they said that the right to bear arms in a fourth grade constitutional history class, I was jumping up and down and dancing.
demonizing that Second Amendment. Isn't that amazing?
they didn't say anything bad about it. They just said it also protects your right to bear arms. And then she went on to say, it is the law of the land, and any law that is not constitutional is invalid. I was like, oh, my God, I love this lady. She's teaching my son. He's in good hands.
I
happened to be off that day. You know, I just happened to be off that day, sitting in a chair quietly listening to the lesson. So it was really good. So you guys have, I know you have a short time, so I want to ask at least one more question in reference to the, or even you can even talk about it, the wrongful death lawsuit you guys have filed, to get justice that way. Is that able to be talked about, and how's that going, if so?
Yeah, we have, the initial case was dismissed. However, we filed with the appellate court, and now we have filed an appeal with the Supreme Court. So it's going before the justices. From how it's been explained to me, the Supreme Court only takes on so many cases per year.
Right.
And so they will review all of the cases that are submitted to them and then choose, what they will listen to or entertain to make a decision on. We could use prayers that the justices will take our case up and hear what we have to say and at least rule that we are entitled to a trial. And so then it would go from there back down to the lower court is what I understand, and we will start from the beginning again and hopefully at that time start with the discovery phase and getting prepared for trial. But our attorneys have prepared our family that this process with the Supreme Court is a very steep battle, and they have said that most likely we will not win, and but that, you know, we too need to go through this process and exhaust every avenue. So this is the last thing that we're able to do, is to bring before the Supreme Court, so we could use prayers and pray that the justices will have a soft heart and will take up this case.
Well, we'll be praying, absolutely, 100%.
Thank you.
Like always, you know, we've always tried to bring your story to the people, and I think it's important for people to hear the injustice. I don't know if it was you or if it was Shalise came on the show one time, and we had a Black Lives Matter lady on the show with us, and she was very respectful, very nice, from New York, and they were angry that police are killing them in the streets, and what we tried to show her was, law enforcement is killing us too. They just use different means. They use the FBI and they use the Bureau of Land Management and rogue law enforcement agencies across the country. They're not just they're killing people of all races and nationalities, sexes. It's indiscriminate. You know, think that they're just picking on one set of people. They're picking on every American race, creed, and religion.
Right. And imprisoning people for years because of their political stance on different subjects. And we have hundreds of people in jail, hundreds more that I understand that are still in line to be arrested. They're not even done yet.
All right. And what's so crazy about January 6th, and I tell people all the time, that was not an insurrection in any way, shape, or form. If you read the Bill of Rights, plain as day, it says if the government that represents you no longer represents you, it's not only your duty but your right to go in and cast them out and then elect a government that will represent you. I don't see insurrection. I see people thinking they're using the Constitution to exercise their duty and their right. Maybe there was definitely bad actors there.
Yes, I see even more, just like at Malheur. When it came out in court 2 years afterwards in Ammon's trial, there were over 15 undercover FBI agents in Malheur when there was only maybe 35 to 40 people there altogether. So when you have 15, half of the people that are there, paid informants, you know that they're sent in with a mission. They have been given a task. To escalate things, okay? That's what happened with January 6th as well. They had paid informants for years within Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, et cetera. And then they had paid informants and agitators egging people to do things that they probably would not have done otherwise. So I hold the federal government, the FBI, I hold them absolutely responsible for what happened to my husband and what happened on that day, January 6th. They are absolutely responsible for some of that behavior. And Nancy Pelosi, she purposely created the mother of all storm situation by not having enough law enforcement there.
They were begging, people asked
for the National Guard.
Everything was turned down.
Yes. And so she wanted that. She wanted this to happen so that they could use it against the American people as a club for years to come. And look at how they're referred to from now on. Anybody that supported Trump are MAGA terrorists.
Insurrectionists.
You know, this is Yes, we're all, it has just been a whole propaganda movement, and they orchestrated it from behind closed doors to escalate it to that extent so that they could use it against the American people. And again, usurp our liberty and our freedom.
Amen.
It's just been, years ago I probably would have not seen it that way because I would have believed everything coming over the TV.
Right.
You know, I would have, but so much has happened to us personally that we know different now. And you can't put your head back in the sand. You can't be an ostrich. You got to stand. You got to stand up and demand to have the liberty and freedom preserved for our posterity. That's why my husband stood.
I agree. And he was a great man, and I'm proud to have had him on my show. I had actually that there was a photograph from that time where they were sitting in a chair and he was wrapped in a blue tarp. I had him on my show the night he was in the blue tarp.
Oh.
I wish I could go back and find the date and pull up the show and listen to it. I got, you know, I don't know, 1,200 shows in the archives or something. And we had some really good shows where we really brought a light to some of the issues that were happening, including Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17, which is one of the main reasons for the fight in the first place, the amount of land they illegally owned. And I was scanning around looking for some old videos, and I found one that's referenced to that, but it says I need your permission to play it. So after you go, I don't know if you mind if I play it. It's Lavoie Finicum, One Cowboy's Stand for Freedom, recorded back in 2014. It's actually his voice talking about the BLM being unconstitutional and all that stuff, and 1-8-17.
Yeah, you have my permission. That would be just fine. And if anybody's interested in the documentary, they're welcome to go to onecowboystandforfreedom.com, and they can get that, and they can learn more about some of the things that were happening behind the scenes. And I have to mention that Mark Herr, who produced this series, has just come out with part 3, and it's on the trials. And it is unbelievable. Part 1 of a 4-part series on the trials is fantastic. It's behind the scenes with everybody that was involved. All the people who went to jail and then were found not guilty are in these part 3 documentary. So
the story
is continuing. Yeah, it's an amazing eye opener. So it would be worth your listeners' time.
Yes, ma'am, and we'll have to get that all together myself and watch it. That's onecowboysstandforfreedom.com, folks. Head on out. I think you can get other stuff there. You can get books and other stuff, I'm sure, right? You got some things besides the documentary over there.
Yeah, some T-shirts. Yeah, but mostly his book and Tara's book and the series and then T-shirts and, you know, a few items that we did for raising funds for the legal battle.
Right on. I want to thank you so much for your time tonight, Mrs. Finicum. You're always in our thoughts and prayers. And may God continue to bless you. Congratulations on finding a good, just, loving husband to help you get through this grief that you're going through. God bless you and your family, and good luck in all you do, and maybe we'll do this again next year.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me on, and God bless you.
Take care. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. All right, folks. There you have it. That's Lavoie Finicum's wife, Jeanette Finicum. She's an awesome, amazing, resilient, strong woman, and very inspiring to me. And so while we're at it, this clip here is about 7 minutes long. I'm probably only going to play the first minute and a half because he pretty much cuts to the chase right in the first minute and a half. And, of course, the show's on time limits here. So this is on YouTube. It's Lavoie Finicum, One Cowboy's Stand for Freedom. This is Lavoie in his own words, folks, and we'll be back in minute and a half. If I like what I'm hearing, maybe it'll go a little long. Maybe we'll play the whole 7 minutes. I don't know. We'll see. Here we go. This is Lavoie Finicum himself from September 27th, 2014, one cowboy stand for freedom.
Hello, everyone. This is Lloyd Finnicum with One Cowboy Stand for Freedom. I recently posted a video where I spoke in general terms about defending the Constitution and standing for freedom. I think now I want to speak in a little more specifics, and particularly about some of the bureaucracies that control our country. Government, particularly our federal government, has created an empire inside of our country. This empire is controlled, managed, and directed by bureaucrats that are unelected and unaccountable to the people. Particularly, let's go with the Bureau of Land Management, or the BLM. The BLM controls vast amounts of land, acreage. Put in comparison, the land that they control is greater than many European nations. And so they've created this empire wherein it is managed by those who are appointed, who are hired. They are not elected. They have advisory boards where people may come hat in hand and ask for dispensations and favors. But they are not accountable to the people by the voice of the people. Don't get me wrong. There are some really, really good people that work Department of the Interior, particularly the BLM. I have several range cons that I work with that are just great individuals. I like them a lot. They're good people, good men. So I don't want to disparage their character or who they are. But that does not mean that the BLM is a legitimate and lawful organization. And I'll tell you why. You need to go to the Constitution, which is our supreme law of the land. And if you go into Article 1, Section 8, I believe it's Paragraph 17, the Constitution specifically limits the amount of land that the federal government can own and control. The intent of the Constitution was to keep a centralized government from amassing power. You cannot amass great land and control it without amassing power, and that's what they've done. They've breached the intent of the Constitution. In paragraph 17, this is where our Constitution specifically lays out what land the federal government can own and control. It says, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such districts not exceeding 10 square miles as may by secession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government of the United States, meaning Washington, D.C., a seat where they can operate out of. It goes on and says, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, needful buildings. In other words, they are also given right by the Constitution to purchase those real estates necessary for the defense of our country. Reasonable, appropriate, right. But nowhere did we give them, as people of this country, the right to control these vast lands, these vast amount of acreages that they control. It's illegitimate. It's illegal. And we need to understand that.
And that's pretty amazing stuff right there from hero, patriot, LaVoy Finnicum. He knew what he was talking about. He was a smart man, and they knew it. And so they did what they had to. And it's unbelievable that they would stoop to that and that they would deem that that's something they had to do. But they done it. And I got another guest coming on here in a few minutes, Gonzalo Duran. He's going to join us. He's been doing some great things, Devil Dogs USA. But I got to play this real fast, ladies and gentlemen. This was a song written by Jordan Page. We played it a lot here at the Patriot Nation Radio Show, and I'm going to play it right now. It's the Ballad of Lavoy Finicum. And he wrote this in the middle of the night and played it on the, you know, Facebook Live, and I seen it captured this. This is the original first version ever played live anywhere, the Ballad of Lavoy Finicum, Jordan Page.
What's up, everybody? This is Jordan Page. In light of the recent events in Oregon, I just wrote a song that I want to share with you. This is called The Ballad of Lavoy Finicum. Subtext, Cowboys Stand for Freedom.
He was a man who loved to walk the land, turn his cheek but also take a stand. His conviction called, he followed what he felt was right. Well, there's no telling just what time will bring. You can't live for nothing or for everything, but when the push has come to shove, and tell me, will you find cowboys stand for freedom. I'm just talking about a name carved in a stone. A friend and brother to anyone. He's riding off into the setting sun. Drive on, cowboys. Watch them from afar with hearts of stone. Godspeed Cowboy will carry on.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
There you have it, folks. That's Jordan Page, the Ballad of LaVoy Finicum. Of course, we had Jordan on a few times, and I got to see him play live. I seen that song actually live on stage. For me, that was a highlight. I want to thank Mrs. Finicum once again for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to honor true patriots who truly stand for freedom against this corruption that we're seeing. And it's not just against one people. It's against all the people. I'm telling you, it's not one particular race, creed, or religion. It's all of them are under this created within the government that is there to just hold us down, to keep us down with the illusion of freedom. You know, that we have a representative government, that they're there to represent us, stand for us, do what's right for us. Meanwhile, us are broke, struggling to put gas in the car and buy groceries. Not one of those folks up on Capitol Hill, blue or red, independent or libertarian, they don't feel the pain the average American person is feeling in this inflated economy. But, you know, what do I know? Anyway, let's get on to our next segment. We got a great, great man on the line here coming up. Devil Dogs USA CEO and founder, doing great things, getting ready to run for city council and trying to make a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce, once again, a return guest, Mr. Gonzalo Duran.
Thanks.
Welcome, brother. What's happening?
Introduction. You know, it's been a while since I've been on. You know, we had our own show, and I kicked it off about 3 months ago. Just I got a little busy. That's why I haven't been back. But you guys can expect me coming back routinely back again. You know, as a patriot myself, I want to make sure that you guys hear the words that are coming not only from the East Coast, but always from the West Coast as well.
Amen. I see you've been doing a lot of great things. Let's start with the reason we brought you on the show in the first place. It was a great organization you founded, called Devil Dogs USA, and how's that going?
Yeah, so for the listeners that haven't, you know, heard of me in a while because I haven't been popping up as usual, Devil Dog USA was founded on the basis of trying to help student veteran homelessness. It's a real issue. It's a real problem that's still plaguing us right now. It's not as prevalent as regular homelessness, but, you know, a patriot, American Marine, soldier, airman coming back home to face homelessness is not a thing that we should face at all, period.
I agree.
With that said, over the last 10 years, or almost 10 years, we've grown and expanded so fundamentally for, you know, because of the Patriots, not only the Patriot Nation Network, but the Patriots themselves. So right now, our recreational program consists of golf, scuba diving, camping, and skiing. And that's just some of it. I'm not going to go, I don't have enough time, but the events programs, we have poker nights, cigar nights, you know, domestic violence events, political meetings, et cetera. Anything you can think of that the community wants, we've pushed out. And in our community engagements, range from block parties to civic engagements and anything you can think of as well. What the community wants, we've made happen, and that's because of the patriots in around the country helping us.
That's amazing. And if someone wanted to reach out and help you guys, is there somewhere people can donate funds or, you know, or volunteer their time?
Yeah, so just to be straightforward, 99% of all our programs are free to the community. And if somebody were to tell me to go somewhere and help out, that's, I would do the same thing. If they wanted to reach anybody in Devil Dog, volunteer, donate, you can go on www.devildogusainc.org. Devil Dog is the nickname for the Marines, so I know sometimes that throws people off, but you know, that's all it's about. Hard charging, good Americans trying to do good work.
Amen. That's great stuff. And there's a few other programs that I supported over the years too, to shine a light on veteran suicide too. One being Project 65 was doing great stuff. And also we had Greg Laskowski on. He's a local guy down here and he does canine, and they go around and rescue dogs from shelters. You know, they have particular criteria for the dogs, and they rescue them and they train them for service dogs for veterans, and it don't cost the veteran anything.
And that's beautiful work. I'm so happy that, you know, our fellow Americans can push that far as well.
Yeah, there's so many issues, and it's ridiculous that we have to have programs and do things on our own. And these guys should be taken care of without question. You know, a place to live. And food and everything for putting their asses on the line on the battlefield across this world fighting wars for a bunch of rich guys who never see a battlefield.
Just to throw out some information, like to show how much we've grown over the years. In March, I'm actually holding an event with Mahan College and the VA hospital on how to prevent or, you know, look into some of the problems that students are facing. So it's called it's a transitional student health seminar, and the goal is, you know, the story, my backstory, but you know, being a Marine, becoming homeless, and then working my way up to Wall Street, opening NASDAQ, becoming Father of the Year, Veteran of the Year, Humanitarian of the Year, Advocate of the Year, and so on, just to show what we can do if we have the right community to come back home to. Now, yes, I had a struggle, but my struggle was more the cracks in the system, and that's what I've been working on. So now my goal is to help out those individuals. So that's one event in March. Another one in March, I've been invited by recruiting command for the Army to help speak to the troops before they even reach the college level and have to have problems. In the same situation, I'll be speaking with one of the intelligence officers from the Marine Corps to try to even prevent even further down the line. So once again, the work that's being done, not only from Devil Dog, those patriots that you talked about a few minutes ago, and the Patriot Nation Network, a combination of all that together is what's making America great again. And all we have to do is keep on pushing. And for me, the work that I'm doing, the work that I want to do, saving one life is more important to me than making a buck, because one life lost is one life too many.
I agree, and that's on many fronts. That's on many fronts. When you lose a life, it's a failure, especially when it's a preventable loss, you know. And so what else is on in store for Gonzalo here in the near future?
So in the near future, I put in my seat for candidacy for office for the Bronx City Council District 17. You know, I know I'm pretty much going to win, but what I want to do is make sure that the people know first who I am, how I'm working and helping the community before somebody asks me, well, why should I be city council? Look, I already gave you my resume. If that's not enough, imagine all the things I produce, like the things I just said. As my job, you know, I spend it helping homeless individuals, people that are disparaged, immigrants, et cetera. With food drives, code drives, book drives, et cetera, et cetera. On my spare time, I'm fighting chairmen and CEOs and politicians left and right. And then on a side project on my weekends, I'm running for office. That's, you know, I'm already doing the job of a city district leader, but not 17. I'm doing it in the city itself. The programs I just mentioned earlier, we're talking about federal, military, state, city level. So I just need the title and the paycheck so I can hire some more staff and get more work done.
Right on. And just like the last thing, Devil Dogs, is there somewhere someone can donate to your campaign or volunteer to help you get elected to this position?
So first of all, I'm going to say 99% of the work that we're going to do that I need help with is going to be volunteer work. But there's many ways you can volunteer. You can share, post my Facebook pages, my Instagram, Devil Dog, and the other one I'm going to tell you right now. So you can go on www.GonzaloDuran.nyc, and you can see what my platforms are, what I've done in the community. And for Devil Dog USA, all our social media is at Devil Dog USA INC. For my personal, my campaign and my personal, it's at Gonzalo Duran NYC. So
excellent.
If you guys want, you can't donate to me this week, but one of my campaign strategies is one, I'm going to take a 50% pay cut, which I think right now it's about $143,000 to be a city council district without being the head of a committee. I'm telling you, right, that's a ridiculous amount of money for which they gave themselves a 36% pay raise. And in our blatant face to show that not only are there millionaires, tycoon, real estate moguls, and construction tycoons running, saying that they're Democrats, but really are, you know, not. You know, New York City is
right.
A Democrat county, so you're always going to win being a Democrat. If you're going to be a Republican, say it and be it. Don't fake it and use it behind the Democratic Party. Now, I'm a Republican ideology for based off my work. That's what the nonprofit ideology is. I'm a Democrat because I'm in New York, and that's just the way I grew up. Besides taking a 50% pay cut, I'm going to make a biweekly meet and greet so I can talk to the community directly. Now, I want to get that to be 1 week, once per week, but realistically, some time for me to build up once I'm elected. And then I'm asking the country, I don't care if you're a Republican, Libertarian, Socialist, whatever you are, if you donate $1 to me, the work that I've managed to do with pennies on the dollars, I can do 10 times more with dollars from everybody across the country. The campaign finance board is something that unrealistically the mandates and regulations they put on us, it would be impossible to fight an incumbent in office, period.
Right.
So realistically speaking, if you guys don't help me, and I just gave you my resume, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I have 10 years of decorated experience in the community level, and I've served my country and done more so than almost any person in the Bronx with my resume to reach a level that I'm saying, look, now if I don't get elected, it's everybody's fault. Not my fault, not my community's fault, it's your fault. All the patriots out there that want to do good, want to see change, want to make progress in America, it starts with one action, one person. Without action, there's no progression.
Amen. That's telling it like it is. It's no sugarcoating there, folks. You know, I'm really proud to know you and have you affiliated with our network, folks. Gonzalo will have a show again, hopefully here pretty soon on a regular basis on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, doing important things, bringing awareness to great issues and really making a difference. If you want to learn how to make a difference, just watch this guy's story. Look at this guy's story from beginning to end, from being a homeless Marine to where he is today. It's an amazing story of success. And like I said, I'm proud to know you. And it's my goal to live my life so that veterans like you can say, there's a guy I'm proud to have served and protected. God bless America. You know what I mean?
God bless America.
You know? Amazing. Gonzalo, I want to thank you for your time. Let's get the show going again. Whenever you're ready, we're there for you. We got a spot for you on the Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Everybody out there, you know, be safe, and as always, God bless America.
Yes, sir. And again, thank you again for your time, and we'll talk very soon, brother.
All right, good night.
Good luck on your campaign.
Thank you.
All right, folks. That was a heck of a show for a return show. It's been a very long time since I've been live. I kind of missed it. This has been fun. It was a very good episode tonight. I want to thank the crew at the Patriot Nation Radio Network, James Bostic, putting the show together and getting us live tonight. Pretty soon there's going to be a little announcement here for me, and maybe I'll do that announcement right now. But I'm being prodded by many to not do this. So it might go to a once-a-month show instead of every week. And it may not be politics. It may be religion one night. It may be music one night. It may be a lesson from a history book that lest we forget history. Maybe I'll do Constitution 101, the continuation, starting at Article 4, where we left off a long time ago. Who knows? But the show has kind of ran its course for me. 10 years old, the network is 10 years old on July 10th. If I decide to hang up my hat and never do a show again, the network will continue with the greatness of James Bostic and Kevin White, who is authoring another book. So once we get all the details, we'll make sure we get that out. Pete Serafin on Friday. The network will continue. And I believe that, because my wife actually said, I can't believe you're actually going to do it. It makes me sad, and I hate to make her sad. So once she said it made her sad that the show was possibly going away, and then Gonzalo, in a private conversation earlier, really gave me some encouraging words and really made me feel good about my efforts at the Patriot Nation. I've done a lot of shows, folks. I've covered a lot of ground, from the border to murder of Lavoie Finicum to the Bundy Ranch. I had all the Bundys on. I had people that were in the mass shooting crowd at the Bellagio in Las Vegas. I had folks who were victims who were there in the crowd, in the place. We played numerous 911 calls of gunfire from just before 10 p.m. all the way till 4 o'clock in the next morning. Continual gunfire up and down the strip. I mean, we've done shows. About everything. I started off with Colonel Harry Riley and Operation American Spring, where I met some great patriots and had some awesome people like Ed Gonzalez and Pastor Sylvester Bland and Joker Jay and a couple others, Steve Sarver, Dean Dogliano. These are great patriots that I'm glad to have met over the years on the air and on the phone and talked to and done great things. The Cajun Navy, saving lives during hurricanes, doing logistical things using the show and using connections through the show to help make a difference. We did that, folks. And so I don't know if I'm going to hang up the hat. But I'm not going to talk about Biden. I'm not going to talk about Pelosi. I'm not going to talk about gun laws and all this stuff. I'm going to keep that to myself and keep fighting, fight privately, continuing to make phone calls and emails, but interviewing guests and talking about the hot coming elections and all that stuff that I've done for years, that may just go on the back burner forever. We'll talk about Christ. History and great historians, people that made the greatness of our nation. Maybe we'll do shows on Ben Franklin, Tom Jefferson, George Washington. You know, who knows? But as of now, July 10th will be like a kind of dawning of age, a show I will do. Will kind of be the, let's say, putting to bed the political side of the Patriot Nation radio show, and will be patriotic in other ways, celebrating instead of trying to change people's train of thought. There was a lot of times I thought maybe if I spoke enough, I could get through some of the thick heads of those on the radical side of things And going through, we went through and seeing Joe Biden get elected showed me that all the talking that we've done, many alternative media outlets, many interviews, many things, and Joe Biden still got elected, even though there was fraud at the board. They cheated. They proved that they cheated. 2,000 mules, the whole nine yards. And knew that nobody listened, or not enough people listened. And then now here we are. Biden is the president. But we'll talk about other stuff. I'll stick around. Who knows? That is crazy. I don't know, folks. Sometimes I don't know, man. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. I'm running a business on the side, the hours a week. I got a family, you know, it's tough. And we got James Bostic, the captain, sits in the chair, does amazing things. So who knows? I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It's been great to be back. I've missed it. I missed you guys. And I'll be planning another show probably the third Thursday of February, probably shooting for the third Thursday of a month for a couple months here, do a show a month for a little while till July 10th. 10-year anniversary show, and we'll decide on that last second exactly. It's been amazing. We got over a thousand shows. I got like 9 years doing a 1-2 punch on Thursday nights with James Bostic. We started on Friday nights on the World Integrity News Network 9 years ago, and here we are, still cranking, still doing, and that alone almost it makes me not want to quit doing this stuff just because of longevity. But, you know, it is what it is. Dave Bray, USA.com, Music on a Mission, Storyteller Edition. He's been traveling around with a full band, rocking, coming down to Florida here in February. Unfortunately, I won't be going. It's $150 a ticket. It's a fundraiser for the police. If you're in the area, go to DaveBrayUSA.com, find out his tour schedule. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, head on out. They're supporting the police. It's a great, great thing. So head on out to that. Do what you got to do. And remember this. The next election in 2024, if you're sitting next to a 16-year-old, that person is eligible to vote in the next election. You might want to start encouraging them to vote to keep America the greatest nation that has ever lived, the beacon on a hill, place where people want to come. I just recently saw 400 Haitians dangerously, perilously coming across to America. People are still dying to come here because it's the greatest place on earth. Some people come in here for an agenda by some other people to destroy our nation, but some folks are truly trying to get to freedom. We are the beacon on the hill. We must remain that. Buy yourself a Constitution, get yourself a Constitution, read a Constitution, support America, support your veterans, and support great rockers like Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Don't forget LibertyRush.com, social media without the libtarded rhetoric.
This is the Patriot Nation Radio Show. This is Star Spangled Banner.
Good night, and God bless America.